goal of the show is to provide a safe space for communicators of color through a series of conversations to elevate their voices and discuss issues of equity in the media. I am Rosanna Longo-Better. Our guest this morning is Callie Fajardo Einstein, American novelist, writer from Denver, 2020 winner of the American Book Award for her collection of stories, Sabrina and Corina. Callie has recently published her first novel, Women of Light, now a national bestseller. Welcome, Callie, to the show.
Hi there. It's great to be here with you.
I'm so excited to have you, and thank you. Thank you for joining us here. Recently at the Tattered Cover Bookstore, during the launching of your new novel, you said that you wrote about the lives of five generations of indigenous Chicano family. And I'm paraphrasing here, because for the most people, not only in America, but around the world, they don't know about their existence. It is a mystery. And why is that?
Well, Woman of Light is a novel that's focused on Luz Lopez. She's a tea leaf reader in 1933 in Denver, and her older brother, Diego, is a snake charmer. And these are characters who are based on my own ancestors. They migrated north from southern Colorado after their Belgian father, he was a miner, abandoned them. And I really wanted to shine a light on those experiences and experiences of families that are like my own. This book also is the tale of an older generation that starts in the 1890s and the 1860s. And in that generation, you're going to meet prophets, gunslingers, a Wild West showman named Pedre. And it's just an incredible adventure, and I'm really excited for listeners to get a hold of this book and to read about these characters.
You know, I'm reading the book. I got the book there, and I'm fascinated by one character that comes again and again, and that's Papatikas, that I really like so much, the Greek father of them all. It's so sweet the way he moves into the spaces and how you paint the scenes in this book. It's really incredible. But let me tell you, back in 2020, during the Diversity and Inclusion Summit at CU Boulder, I had the opportunity to chat with you. And here's the short interview I dug down and found just yesterday. Let's play it and let's listen.
It took place at CU Boulder yesterday. One of the featured speakers was Callie Fajardo Einstein. She's the author of the new book of short stories, Sabrina and Corina. Now, that's the book that was chosen this year for the Campus One book. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Callie Fajardo Einstein about the themes explored in her book and her participation in the summit.
With Sabrina and Corina, one of the things I was trying to do was trying to insert Chicana narratives into a white space, which is literature of the American West. And there's no reason it should have been a white space. I mean, many of us are native to the region. We've been here as long, if not longer, than Anglos. And so I was really perplexed as to why we weren't more dominant in that space, or just more equal, not even dominant. And so I was really writing to try to move into that space. And it's been interesting being able to get there. I mean, it's been a long time. I think this book, it took over 10 years to get it where it is today. It took a long time to get it published. And now that it's had the success it's had, being nominated for the National Book Award and a number of other prizes, I literally go to white spaces. I mean, I go to universities and I go to these stages all across North America, and I bring these Chicanas with me. And I hope that by creating that pathway and that trail, there can be more people behind me who are entering into those spaces. And in the end, they won't be white spaces. They'll just be spaces for all of us.
So you're doing a disruptive way of approaching this lack of more literature that represent us. Would you also speak about, you know, what are you doing here today? What is the importance of this diversity summit and the moment of you sharing parts of your book?
Yeah, I think, I love that you said that it's just disrupting. Coming from a punk rock background, I mean, I really love that. But I think what I am doing here today is I'm hoping that I'm setting an example for one that anyone can be a writer. It does not matter what kind of resources you come from, what kind of background. All you really need is a pen and a piece of paper. And so in that way, it's one of the most equitable art forms. And another thing that I'm hoping that I'm doing here today is giving people a glimpse into the lives and the souls of people they might not necessarily think about. And if they do think about them because they're their own people, I want them to have a sense of pride being able to see themselves reflected back in such a large way.
At the end of your speech, you talk about we are all human beings. We need to shed a light on that. Would you speak about that in the case of gender equality, females especially, and being a Chicana?
Yeah. One of the most interesting questions I get is why I decided to write a book about Chicanas and about women. And I always find that an odd question because we're human. I mean, of course, our subjectivity matters just as much as a man's subjectivity. But for some reason, for hundreds of years, thousands of years of being relegated to the margins, that humanity has sort of been skirted in a way. And so I think one of the most important things that we can do is to tell our stories and to just say, look, we are here, our lives and our stories matter just as much as yours, and they're on the same playing field as yours, and they deserve to be in these spaces.
Yes. Why is it so important to have a diversity summit here at CU Boulder?
Alphonse Keesley. I'm the Associate Vice Chancellor who's in charge of this event and have been for the last decade. What's important about having the summit is that it's a public educational opportunity, that it isn't something about only being taught in certain classes. It's a way in which to reach all of the campus community for those who are willing to attend, as well as the city employees of the government to be able to attend. There was just one person who was here who bought the book by Kali, and she's from the city, which was just great for me to hear. It's like, okay, this is having the impact and relationship building that we want to have. So having it all the time is something that we want to make sure where people don't forget. This is an important matter for us all on the campus. We're still not where we want to be with regard to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and justice. So we're still working very hard at making sure that this remains up front for our campus community and our colleagues from the city government.
The importance of having today writer Kali Fajardo as theme to open the floor. Speak to me about that.
Now, this is really fascinating. There were a number of colleagues on campus who approached us to say, we need to bring Kali here. Well, I knew that she was from the region, but I didn't really understand the significance until I was working with one of the librarians who read the book and was just so brought into his life being realized. And as Kali said in her presentation today, it was really an important way in which to do something that's just absent from the literature, the canon, if you will. As she mentioned, it's not a part of the canon. The lives of Chicana and the like. And so for me, it was like, okay, this really has awakened some people on our campus that maybe we haven't paid enough attention to because of the way that I'm learning from my colleagues about why this is such an important book that we chose for the one book read.
What is this one book read? Explain to me.
Okay. So we're always trying to find as many ways as possible to bring out why we're working on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so having one read, it's like what cities do in terms of a whole city is going to be reading one book. Well, we're doing it on the campus level. And so we did it in that way. And this is one of the books that we chose. We've chosen articles in the past. This is our second book that we've actually done. And so we'll continue to, you know, mix it up in the ways in which we want to present information about diversity, equity, and inclusion and justice, and going from there.
That's Alphonse Keesley, who is the Associate Vice Chancellor in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Community Engagement at CU Boulder, speaking there with KGNU's Rosanna Longo at yesterday's Diversity and Inclusion Summit. Kelly Fajardo-Anstein was the featured author in KGNU and the Boulder Book Club's, Boulder Bookstore's rather, Radio Book Club. Now you can listen to an extended interview about her collection of short stories that really focus on the Chicana experience in Colorado. That's online at news.kgnu.org, or you can find them at the Radio Book Club podcast. Now, while you're looking for KGNU podcasts, you could also subscribe to the KGNU Trends podcast. It's our most recent addition to our podcast offerings. And the most recent episode that just was published last week takes a look also at issues of diversity and inclusion.
Back in 2020 at CU Boulder, when I had the opportunity to interview her on the fly as she was signing books, at that time was Sabrina Corina for the students. A lot of things had happened in the world since then. What has changed radically and what has stayed the same when we talk about white spaces, especially, Kali?
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the reasons I wrote Woman of Light. So the book took over a decade to write and research. And this book is incredibly rich with research. And it deals with themes like police brutality, the wealth gap, violence against women. But one of the major scenes of the novel, Luce goes to work for a Greek-American attorney named David. And David is a very complicated character. He's sort of a do-gooder in the community, but he also has misogynistic leanings. And David is trying to hold the police department accountable for the brutal murder of a young Chicano man. And there's a scene in the novel where his law office is suddenly, they're being intimidated by the Ku Klux Klan in Denver. And writing that scene, a lot of it was based on the oral histories of my own family. My great grandma would talk about hiding, laying on the floor, waiting for the Klan to pass by outside their house near Five Points. And I had to do so much research in order to get that scene right and to talk about the major influence that white supremacy and the KKK has had in the shaping of Denver and greater Colorado. One of the things that I found really interesting while researching the novel was stories of Chicanos and indigenous people and other marginalized communities, because I'm also, my great grandfather's from the Philippines. Our stories were not collected at nearly the rate of white Americans in the historic archives. And while researching the scene with the Klan march in Woman of Light, I actually got to look at Klan robes in the historic archives. There were letters from Klan members. And I was seeing firsthand that this was not some sort of offshoot hate group. This was a mainstream hate group. And some of these people, the families are still in power to this day. So unfortunately, I think not very much has changed in terms of white space in Colorado and also white narratives and how we tell the story of this place and whose stories are privileged over another.
We're speaking with American novelist Kali Fajardo-Anstein here at KGNU. We're listening to Storytellers of Color. Kali holds a VA from Metropolitan State University and FMA from the University of Wyoming and has been named the Texas State University MFA Program's Endowed Chair on Creating Writing for 2022 to 2023. You have lived in many places, but you keep on coming back to Denver. Denver is your home. Tell us about your journey as a writer.
Yeah, so I was born and raised here. My mom was born and raised here. My grandpa was born and raised here. And my great-grandparents, my great-grandmother at least, was born in Southern Colorado. So I won't be leaving Colorado anytime soon, at least not in my heart. I had quite a long journey to becoming a writer. I know some people look at the success of both Sabrina and Karina and now Woman of Light, and they think I was an overnight success. I just wrote a book in a couple years and it suddenly ended up on the national bestseller list. But that's not what happened. I wanted to be a writer since I was a little girl. I grew up in a family that was very steeped in the oral tradition. And I also was an atypical learner, and I was someone who really struggled in school. I ended up dropping out of high school at the advice of my own English teacher, who told me she did not think that I was cut out for school, that she did not think that I should go on to college. And I'm a very stubborn person, so I sort of took that as a challenge. And I went and I got my GED that day. And I enrolled in summer classes at Metro State University. At Metro, I started taking classes in Chicana and Chicano studies. And I also paired those with English literature classes. And so this was really the first time that I was seeing my own background reflected to me in the classroom space, especially in a historical way. And suddenly I went from being one of the worst students you can imagine to excelling. I was on the dean's list. I was getting scholarships for my good grades. And that led me on to graduate school. At the University of Wyoming, I completed a thesis draft of a book called Sabrina and Karina. It would be 7 years before I was able to get my thesis published by Penguin Random House. And during that time, I was working on Woman of Light, and I was living all over the country, not because I wanted to leave Denver, but because I couldn't find work, and the cost of living was rising and rising and rising in Colorado. Key West, I lived in South Carolina, I lived in Wyoming, and I also ended up living for a short time in Durango, Colorado.
All over the place. And Kali, you just mentioned briefly that in order to work on this beautiful new book, Women of Light, you have done a lot of research. So now, as a researcher of this Chicana indigenous experience in Colorado, would you say their presence has been erased?
You know, I think that a lot of narratives have been consciously erased in Colorado history in particular. I just did a book club meeting with a group called Denver We Need More Thinkers, and primarily the members are Black American. And one of the questions that we asked each other as we were going through the circle talking about Woman of Light and the characters in the novel, the moderator, she asked, when is your first experience learning about the Ku Klux Klan in Denver? And, you know, everybody who came from a marginalized background said, from elementary school on, from the time I was a little kid on. But there were other members of the group who said, well, I didn't really know until I was in high school and we learned about it briefly, or I heard some sort of just a glimpse of that the Klan had power in Denver. But the reality is that many people from backgrounds, Black American backgrounds, Indigenous backgrounds, Chicano backgrounds, our lives and our ancestors' lives were terrorized by white supremacy in Colorado. If you look at Denver and you look out the layout of the city, it's an incredibly segregated space. We have, you know, certain groups of people live in certain areas, and we don't think about the legacy of redlining and how that created the different demographics in the city. We're also living in a time that is more segregated than ever in American history. And I fear that it's only going to get worse as the gap between the have and the have-nots just increases and increases. So what I'm trying to do with books like Woman of Light is I am showing true history from our perspective, and I'm doing it through these credible characters like Maria Josie, who takes care of the family, or like Diego and his job as a factory worker at the Gates Rubber Factory. These stories then become very real and emotional, and there are ways for people to learn history without slogging through a history book, even though I'm someone who loves reading history books.
This is a quote or a line from your beautiful book. There is one in every generation, a seer who keeps the stories. you are the keeper of this story as Luz, or Little Light in your book, is the keeper of the family. Is this character somehow you?
Well, you know, I always like to tell my readers that all of my characters are somehow me because they came out of me. You know, the Greek shop owner who takes care of the community, you know, even I'm somehow even an old Greek man. But yeah, in a lot of ways, I really do identify with Luz. She's very quiet. She's very observant, and she's incredibly smart, even though she does not have formal training and education. As I've grown older and I have more of a voice, I literally get to be heard on the radio now, and I'm read in books. I've become bolder, and I use my voice in stronger ways that Luz could never do. But in that way, I'm a lot like her best friend and cousin, Lisette. And Lisette, she's really outspoken. She doesn't take no for an answer. And in all of my books, I have sort of these complementary characters. So if I have a very quiet character, you're also going to meet a very loud character. And in my books, they usually come in pairs.
Well, the only thing I can say, as you are mentioning all your characters in the book, is that I was there when you were presenting your book, and it was packed. And it was the second day, and it was packed, sold out event. People are reading your book nonstop. They cannot put it down. That's me, I also have to say. This is such an opportunity for me to speak with you. And you have covered all, you know, all the questions, and in an amazing way this morning. I really want to thank you, Kali, for joining us for our Storytellers of Color. This is a collaborative series inspired by local groups, Journals of Color and Latinx Voices. I know that tonight you're going to go to the Boulder bookstore, and you will be speaking about your new book, Women of Light, with Boulder Bookstore's Arsen Kashkahian and KGNU's Maeve Conran in a live recording at the bookstore and KGNU's Radio Book Club, which will air in August here in your listeners-supported KGNU community radio. Is there something else that you would like to say to our listeners, or to somebody that is hoping to one day write a novel or write about what has been trying to be erased and oppressed in the society that we are living in?
Yeah, I want to say, first of all, if you've ever read my books or you've picked up my books, I want to say thank you, because I am really an author whose entire career has been built out of word of mouth, out of people sharing my books with one another, with their family members and their friends. And I am so grateful to my readers for supporting and uplifting my work in that way. I also want to say, if you're an artist of any kind and you feel like you haven't had your big break yet, or it's getting harder and harder to pay the bills and you're not really seeing the fruits of your labor, I just want to say that the relationship between you and your art, that is your purpose. And that's what's going to carry you through tough times and difficult times. My writing has given me some of the saddest times in my life, some of the worst rejections, some of the worst reviews, but it's also uplifted me and given me such gifts of connection and community. And that really is the purpose of my writing. It is to connect us, it is to create community, and quite frankly, it is to change the world and change the way that we think about our own history and our own identity as Coloradans. So I just want to say thank you so much for listening and being here with us this morning.
Thank you so much, really, for coming into this show, Storytellers of Color. Your show, your safe space to come and share ideas about equity, and equity in the media, that is precisely the hardest thing. Once again, Kali, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and good luck. And for those that are listening, you can go to the bookstore tonight, Boulder Bookstore, and get in person Kali Fajardo tonight. Thank you again. Thank you so much. I have been your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Stay tuned for Counterspin, followed by 2.5 hours of an eclectic morning of sound alternative. Thanks again.